The Justin Robert Young Program is brought to you, as always, by you, patreon.com/JURY, and by Stickers or DIAF. Listen, it's the first night of Hanukkah. Christmas is right around the corner. I can still get you these stickers. I can still get you these limited edition pin sets. I can still get you these Diamond Club embroidered patches. But you got to head over there right now, Stickers or DIAF.com. But enough of talking about how we do the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing? Gentlemen, ladies and gents, clear out the vents. It is time for another episode of the Justin Robert Young Podcast. My name is Justin Robert Young. Boy, howdy, do we have a lot to talk about here today. Boy, tell you what, man. Christmas is in full effect. We're going to have a story. I asked you guys to send in a Christmas holiday story, and we have a doos for you. We're also going to talk about Christmas songs. Sent out a little survey a couple weeks ago, and we asked, what did you guys like the most about the show? And one of the things people liked the most about the show was us breaking down songs. So we are going to break down not one, but two Christmas songs today. One of them is Dominic, the Italian Christmas Donkey, which I believe is racist. I'm just going to get that one out there on Front Street. This is a racist song for racist people to sing. We are also going to have a return contender. Because we are going to make the argument, one of the old heads, old jury heads, always say, you want to know one of my favorite segments ever on the show is you breaking down the lyrics to Baby, It's Cold Outside. Well, we're gonna answer back. Apparently, the new theory on Baby It's Cold Outside, not rapey, a sex positive anthem for its era. We will investigate these claims and see if they hold up. Live here on Twitch, BC Smith 007 says, my 5-year-old loves that song. If the song that your 5-year-old loves is Dominic the Italian Christmas Donkey, you're raising a racist. Speaking of raising a racist, we have controversy on the internet. Man, it does not get any more internet than this internet story. The 2017 story of the millennium, right? This is, shout out to Peter Rosenberg. This is just about as internet as internet gets. We had a heartbreaking story develop in the week since we've last talked to each other. Oh, my God. It was just, one of these things that just blows up on Twitter for all the right reasons. You know, we just sometimes have, these moments when things are going wrong and people are being mean and we are more siloed than we have ever been in our entire human history, so we say, and we have become more calloused. We have thrown rocks before offering hugs. We are so weaponized that when there is a moment of such purity and we react with such generosity, we look at ourselves in the mirror, the funhouse mirror that is social media, and we say, you want to know what? Maybe this was worth it. Maybe building all of these pipes, maybe connecting ourselves on such a hardwired root level was worth it. And Keaton Jones, this little boy, was worth it for just this minute. This was the video that melted everybody's hearts.
Why do they bully? What's the point of it? Why do you find joy in taking innocent people and finding a way to be mean to them? It's not okay.
What do they say to you?
For those of you who cannot see this, this is a young boy. He looks as if he's been crying. He's got that big old ugly red face that you have when you've been bawling, right? And he's recounting how he's been bullied. And it's not okay. This is a minute and 17 seconds. We're going to play the entire thing.
They make fun of my nose. They call me ugly. They say I have no friends.
What'd they do to you at lunch?
Put milk on me and put ham down my clothes. Threw bread at me.
Is it just you?
Yep.
Or is it other kids too that feel that way?
Say it's other kids too.
How's that make you feel?
I don't like that they do it to me, and I for sure don't like that they do it to other people. Cause...
Now, again, if you've not seen this video, it is the tears are streaming down this little kid's face. He is just everybody. It is something so humanizing. Anybody who has been bullied, which is pretty much everybody, can understand where this kid is coming from.
Not okay. People that are different don't need to be criticized about it. It's not their fault. But if you are made fun of, just don't let it bother you. Just stay strong, I guess. Hard. But it'll probably get better one day.
Now there we go. That is the moment. That's the moment that everybody had a reaction to. Let me describe this. I will play the clip again and just understand this is a 7 to 8 year old boy, maybe even a little older. He is just tears streaming down his face when he offers this moment of hope, right? Or strength. Strength is probably the better way to say it.
Hard. But it'll probably get better one day.
And he turns away from the camera, his eyes stinging with tears. Oh, just taps into it, right? It just taps into exactly where we all felt in these moments, this helplessness, this idea of shame that you're going to your parents and you're talking to them about the fact that, especially as like a young boy, if you're getting bullied, you know, there is this built-in idea that you should be fighting back. You know, the only thing that a bully can respond to is getting popped right in the mouth, and that'll shut up forever. And then, you know, this kid got milk dumped on him, apparently. They made fun of his nose. And in that moment of weakness, he goes to his mom. His mom records him. And, who knows why the mom records him, right? You know, maybe to send to the school. But the reaction to this video was immediate. And I would say from just a person who was on Twitter, overwhelming. from all corners of the internet. Kevin Smith, immediately somebody who is prone to crying and also was obviously a fat kid, immediately says, oh my God, this kid's such strength. LeBron James, the Tennessee Volunteers, who this kid's from Tennessee, so I guess he's a Volunteers fan. Everybody starts responding saying, hey, you want to know what? You're awesome. You're great. These bullies suck. You're in the right. It does get better. You are right. This is when it's going to get better. And then the offers start coming in. Chris Evans, Captain America himself, hits him up and says, you want to know what? How would your mom, you and your mom like to come out in L.A. to come to the Avengers Infinity War premiere? Oh! UFC fighters. You know, there was a UFC fighter I saw along with Dana White saying, you want to know what? You and your mom come out. Come out to Las Vegas and all. If you're into UFC, a lot of young boys are into UFC. Train with me. I want to help you, you know, get bigger and faster and stronger. Because you want to know what? You got the heart. You got the heart right there. You know what goes into this. Not these bullies who are pouring milk on you being an asshole. You are the kind of person that I would like to fight side by side with. Oh! Just, again, it's the moment that you know that the internet is pure. Ah! Now, I want you to right now, I'm going to go ahead and look at the time code of when we started. So right now, the episode is about at 11 minutes and 43 seconds. Figured I took about 4 minutes for the intro. So we are now about 6 or 7 minutes into this segment. At what point did you know there was a butt coming? If you had not heard of this story, at what point did you know that there was a butt coming? Because there is no purity on the internet, dummy. Of course there was another shoe to drop. And holy shit, did it drop fast. Apparently, Keaton's mom, this kid, this video was posted initially, immediately was deleted. Because there's some stuff on there. This is from Deadline. Keaton Jones' Facebook video gone after mom's Confederate flag photo surface. Is Hollywood still Keaton strong? Let's go ahead and, of course, you have the Tennessee Volunteers. Not, but I think 24 hours after this video went viral, this kid came over to make sure that he hung out with Keaton. This is the Tennessee Volunteers quarterback. Tweeted, so I got the chance to spend the day with my new best bud, Keaton. It was unbelievable to get to know him and realize we have a lot in common. This dude is very special and has changed my life forever. Now I have the little brother I've always wanted. God bless you, my man. But unfortunately, let's see if we can find these pictures. There were pictures on Keaton's mom's Facebook page. Yeah, here we go. Well, geez, you just knew it was coming. This is from TMZ. Photos and words posted by Tennessee student Keaton Jones' mother has many people questioning whether she deserves any of the sympathy generated from Keaton's viral video, which we are looking at right now here on the stream. Is a picture of Keaton's mom very excitedly pointing to a Confederate flag. Kimberly Jones' Facebook page reportedly features several photos of herself and friends displaying the Confederate flag. There's also a post in August where she seems to be telling people to stop whining about slavery and racism. It's not clear exactly what she's referring to, but the post is written 2 weeks after the neo-Nazi rally in Charlottesville. This is the post that allegedly was written by Kimberly Jones. It goes, dear butt-hurt Americans. Oh, man. Oh, man, you always know that you're in for a party when it begins. Dear butthurt Americans. Ugh. If you aren't bleeding, no bones are sticking out, and you can breathe, stop crying. For the love, some folks clearly never picked the switch. And before y'all start talking to me about metaphorical, emotional, financial, or historical blood or brokenness, don't join a group. Hashtag, y'all need some porch therapy. Hashtag, coffee with Jesus. Hashtag, thump something. Hashtag, fine. Man, dude, you got the sense that she ran out of steam on those last two hashtags, right? Like, I'm going to assume that there was some kind of a Southern element. Is there? We got a lot of folks from the South here. We got a lot of folks from Georgia and Alabama and stuff like that. They're from Tennessee. Is porch therapy a thing? Because if it's not, you know, then we can assume that porch is a prefix to another thing, right? Coffee with Jesus is the next one. Okay, I guess maybe she's like, you know, having a moment with her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when she decided to write this on her phone. But then, well, then we got hashtag something, and then hashtag fine. I just think she lost steam on something and fun. That's all I'm saying. I just feel like, you know, these other two, a little dicey. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm honestly just asking, if porch therapy just mean, you know, taking a load off outside, collecting your thoughts out on the porch when you might be sipping upon an iced tea, right? Maybe an ice cold beer. In the way that they would sing about in those country songs? Or is it something, you know, a little problematic? A little problematic. Because I read it, and I'm like, man. The only time that whenever we get into, like, y'all need to stop complaining, you kind of know where the y'all, where the y'all came from, right? Goats from home ask if Rush Limbaugh can read the Kim Jones post. I mean, this isn't politics, 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 but let me go ahead and try. We'll see if we can tune in Rush Limbaugh.
Well, yeah. Dear butthurt Americans, if you aren't bleeding, no bones are sticking out, and you can breathe, stop crying. For the love, some folks, you know, snarly, they've clearly never picked a switch. And before y'all start talking to me about metaphorical or emotional, financial, or historical blood and brokenness, don't join a group. Hashtag, y'all need some porch therapy. Hashtag, coffee with Jesus. Hashtag, something. Hashtag fine.
One of the other photos that she had features Keaton, a young Keaton, and some other kids. One of them's holding a puppy. Is one of them holding a gun? Is that a gun? I mean, maybe it's a squirt gun, but certainly looks like something gun-esque. Keaton is holding an American flag, but next to him is a young boy holding a Confederate flag. Ew. Now, there's also some other stuff here. Apparently, there was a conversation with an Instagram account that has been debunked. It wasn't actually the mom. There has been some conversation about whether or not there was a GoFundMe that raised like $50,000 for Keaton. That it is unknown whether or not that GoFundMe is connected to the family. There's immediately aspersions cast. There were aspersions cast on whether or not the mom was just like hustling for money by posting the video. There's now a you know, here look, we even have a Snopes article here. About this was, you know, the initial Facebook posts. So here we go. This is the real deal. Jones has confirmed in an interview with CBS that the photographs showing her with the Confederate flag were authentic, but said she did not hold racist views. Quote, "The only two photos on the entire planet that I am anywhere near a Confederate flag. It was ironic and it was funny. It didn't have anything to do with racist intent," asked CBS. No, absolutely not. I've spent my life being bullied and judged because I wasn't racist, Jones says. Yet another controversy erupted when MMA fighter Joe Schilling claimed in a video that he had reached out to Keaton's mom on Instagram with an offer of friendship, that she had rebuffed him and asked him to share the GoFundMe page. But apparently the Instagram account was not authentic. Keaton's sister, Lankin Jones, has responded to the controversy. That GoFundMe raised $57,000. All right. So let's recount. There is a universal sign of empathy. A young boy crying because he was bullied. There are signs that his mom, who posted the video, might have, let's be fair, complicated to out-and-out racist views. She claims that the pictures of her being next to a Confederate flag were ironic. So yes, this was all irony. She says that, in fact, it's the opposite. In a racist part of the country, she has been bullied because she's not. Here's the interesting part to me. We were initially around this story because of the purity of it. I think it became viral because, I mean, unless this kid is an actor, there's no way that this can be anything other than a young boy being destroyed because he's bullied, and yet at the end showing the strength to say, I have to move on. Why can't it just be about that? And to its credit, to everybody's credit, many have said it should just be about that. That nobody should be rescinding their views because the boy has done nothing wrong. In fact, if the mom is problematic, if the mom is racist, wouldn't it make it more of an important thing that we should be saying, hey, there's more than meets the eye for this kid. Look, you don't have to live like you're like everybody else around you. There's a whole nother world, and this world is compassionate. This world is here for you. Now, let me also say this. And maybe this is colored by the idea that I've grown up in a part of the country that, you know, when everybody's alone, can get a little racist. Even for people that aren't necessarily like, I mean, there's no Klan members, right? But I'm talking about every day, you know, buy it at Walmart, 6 for $3 kind of racism. Like, just, you know, let me repeat this joke that my uncles told me at Thanksgiving for years. I think there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people listening to this. It's in this chat that know these people. They are our family. Many times they are our friends. And you try to discourage it and try to say that's not funny. But ultimately, either these people are going to exist or they're not. And I don't doubt that at its best, Keaton's mom might be it. Or at worst, she might be an out-and-out racist. But here's all I'll say. The purity of that young boy being as broken up as he was, I think that stands. And I would join in with the chorus of people saying that that's fine. Because nobody comes from a perfect family. I know I've been on the phone. If I wanted to, I could screenshot text messages from members of my family, which are horrifying. But, you know, what do you do? Beyond making fun of them, telling them they're an idiot, telling them that's stupid to say. What's next? Where do you go? Does that mean that because I have a racist family member that I should never have anything in my life, right? Or everything that I do should be suspect? I'll let you know, some of my family's racist. Said shit that's pretty fucking racist to me. And I call them dumb assholes. You know, I would say that it has probably affected members of me and my family. But does their existence disqualify anybody? Specifically when this kid's so young. I mean, what's he going to do? Mom, these pictures are inappropriate. You need to take them down. Tell you what, you might say it now. I would stand with Keaton. Keaton's a bully kid. I think we can all understand that. I think that is one of those things that does kind of transcend. And hopefully at the end of the day, we focus on the empathy part of this and not necessarily the other side. I think what really drove people into a fervor about it were these, like, the GoFundMe and the Instagram conversation. Which, that's another thing that's about as internet as it can get, right? So literally somebody sees something trending on Twitter and then immediately creates a fake Instagram account. Right? Starts up GoFundMes and as everybody's in the fog of virality, takes advantage of it. That's another thing that's about as internet can get. So, well, you know, I'll tell you what. Although, I did almost tweet this. This is true. I wrote it out and deleted it in before Keaton Jones turns out to actually be Hitler's Panchen Lama, which nobody would have gotten, but I thought was very funny. All right, question that I just want to know the answer to. Either hit me up on Twitter or hit me up in the chat right now. Do you know who the Panchen Lama is? Do you know who the Panchen Lama is? P-A-N-C-H-A-N. Lama like Dalai Lama. The Panchen Lama. Do you know who that is? I don't think a lot of people are going to. But I thought it was very... If you look it up, it's pretty funny. I know that's not what how you should measure jokes. I swear to God, if you research my joke, it's a pretty funny joke. I'm gonna leave it up to you guys. If you want to know who the Panchen Lama is, then please go ahead and look it up. Wow, I am batting 1,000. Nobody knows who the Panchen Lama is. It's not somebody who punches llamas. It's not David Spade from The Emperor's New Groove. Dr. Whiskey says somebody close to the Dalai Lama. You're on the right track. But look, I'm not going to explain who the Panchen Lama is. It's a cool idea, though. It's actually a fast. All right, whatever. Moving on. Speaking of racism, let's talk about Dominic, the Italian Christmas donkey. I'm not going to play the song because then we're going to get rung up on YouTube's stuff. You never know who owns the rights to Dominic the Italian Christmas donkey. But we are going to read the lyrics. All right. If you're unfamiliar with Dominic the Italian Christmas Donkey, I highly recommend you going on YouTube or Spotify or Apple Music. Here are the lyrics. I jing a de jing, hee haw, hee haw. It's Dominic the Donkey. Another thing that I want for everybody to understand is that this song is sung in a very thick, stereotypical it's-a-me Mario kind of accent. So all of this that's like, I jing a jing jing, hee-haw, hee-haw, it's Dominic the Donkey. It's just all, you know, just super guidoed out to the max, right? Jing a jing jing, hee-haw, hee-haw, the Italian Christmas donkey. La 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 de da. We get into the song. Santa's got a little friend and his name is Dominic, the cutest little donkey. You never see him kick. When Santa visits his paisans, it's with Dominic he'll be, because the reindeer cannot climb the hills of Italy. I mean, where do we start here, right? Because the idea of the ethnic voice, unless it is a traditional song, is something that is frowned upon in the modern era. I found out this weekend that I've been working on the railroad is horrifyingly racist. There's like an introduction to like I've been working on the railroad that is like a super minstrel show. Like I don't even want to be reading it because it is like just like whoa, whoa. In fact, like that's all I'm going to do in terms of the song. Look it up. I've been working on the railroad. Super racist. I was not aware that I've been working on the railroad is super racist. Or at least I didn't know that there was this whole other intro that was like just minstrel show to the max. I was not aware of that. I could probably guess. If you were to ask me, hey, did you know that I've been working on the railroad is racist? When you think about it for 2 seconds, it makes a lot more sense. Let's get back to... I don't even know what to call it. Like, what would be the word for just... Because also, the other thing that I don't know about this song is whether or not it was actually sung by an Italian person. Wouldn't be shocked if it was somebody else. It was just, you know, Greg, for whatever, I wanted to say Greg Kinnear. I don't know if this has been sung by actor, Oscar Award nominated actor and original host of The Soup, Greg Kinnear. But imagine it were sung by Greg Kinnear. At some point, I'm sure at some point, fucking Blake Shelton has covered this. I'm sure Big and Rich have covered Dominic the Italian Christmas Donkey. Aw, jing-a-ding-a-jing-jing, hee-haw, hee-haw, it's Dominic the Donkey. Jing-a-ding-jing, hee-haw, hee-haw, the Italian Christmas Donkey, la-la-la-la-la-dee-da. Jingle bells around his feet and presents on... Da sled. On the sled. Come on. Come on. We can't be using the sled. You can't write that into the lyrics.
Jingle bells around his feet and presents on the sled. Hey, look at the mayor's derby on top of Dominic's head. A pair of shoes for Louis and a dress for Josephine. All right, so we're just taking Italian names. The label on the inside says they're made in Brooklyn. What the fuck? Italian people don't even say Brooklyn. Brooklyn. That's fucking bullshit. I mean, maybe the original person sang it in Italian. I'll guarantee somebody find me a white guy singing this. I swear to God. Sure, it was big and rich. Well, jingle bells around his feet with the presents on the sled. Hey, look at the mayor's derby up upon Dominic's head. There's a pair of shoes for Louis and a dress for Josephine. And the label on the inside says it's made in Brooklyn. Hey, dicka jigga da jing jong hee haw, it's Dominic the Donkey. Jigga jigga da jing jong hee haw, the Italian Christmas donkey. La 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 la, we are big and rich. Meh. Fuck you, big and rich. I don't even know if you did sing it. I'm blaming you. I'm personally blaming big and rich. Hey, fuck big and rich for singing it in my head. I'm going to bring it on home. Children sing and clap their hands and Dominic starts to dance. They talk Italian to him. And he even understands. Oh, look at that. Oh, no. Talk Italian. Talk your gutter language to the beast of burden so everybody understands it, huh? Oh, gotcha. Oh, yeah. No, talk your Italian to the donkey. Cumers and compares do dance the tarantelle when Santo Nicola comes down and brings il cucarel. This is minstrelry. Italian minstrelry. It's racism. It is racism. Nobody wants to give Italians credit that they could be racist to. Just because at some point in the 1940s, you know, Italians kind of got subsumed by white people. It was like an acqui-hire, right? Racially. Because there was a point where white people were not cool with Italians. Irish too. Germans got a pass. People didn't like the Irish. They didn't like the Italians. I'll tell you what. Listen to the Vox says, how is that racist? Italians are white. Not always. Not Southern Italians. Go learn your history. There was a time not too long ago when look at the ratio of immigration caps on Italy and Ireland, because they were not looked at as they weren't productive classes. They were low classes, you know, swarthy. I'm saying in America, there's a history. There's a history about racism to Italians. And it was not so long ago in our nation's history. Fuck Dominic the Donkey. Fuck Big and Rich. Well, Santa's got a little friend, and his name is Dominic, that cutest little doggy, and you'll never see him kick. When Santa visits his paisans with Dominic, he'll be, 'cause the reindeer just can't climb the hills of Italy.
All right. Now that I've riled up all the intra white people races, I'm telling you, look, there was it was a weird thing. It's like in our nation's history. The majority needs to stay the majority, so they just subsume the closest thing to them. Italians got in. Irish got in, too. That was an upset. People didn't like the Irish. Next thing you know, they're white people, too. All right, let's talk about this. That's like what baby it's called outside. Although Dan Wally in the chat room, the old timey game show, Are You White Enough? So, y'all, many people know that I've had a fascination with the song Baby It's Cold Outside. It is, if you are unaware, sung in two parts. The wolf, traditionally they're called, these are the roles that they're called. The wolf and the mouse, right? The man's part is the wolf. The woman's part is the mouse. It's a duet. It's a very beautiful song, but people, specifically in the modern era, have kind of found it to be, like we do with most of our history, looked at as problematic. Specifically, what is the aggression of the male to the female, seemingly making her, pressuring her to stay by giving her all these excuses why she can't leave and offering to pour her more alcohol. This is pretty much typified by the phrase by the mouse, the female, "Hey, what's in this drink?" Now, there have been moments. I think I saw a Joseph Gordon-Levitt duet with Lady Gaga where she sings the wolf part and he sings the mouse part. I think there was a Zooey Deschanel, like the him and her, or she and him, I forget what their band's name is, where she sings the wolf part. But in specifically this year, we've talked about it a lot on the show, about the Me Too stuff and the shifting sands of what we consider to be sexual harassment. There has been kind of yet another revisiting of this song. And so there was a very interesting post here. And we'll typify it by something that was kind of a common thing. Andrew Rannells, who I believe was one of the Glee people, says, hey, I don't think any more people need to record Baby It's Cold Outside. I think we're good there. Now, what came back and has been gone viral since is a defense of Baby It's Cold Outside. So here we go. This is what I'll bounce around a little bit. But this was Teaching with Coffee, who made an impassioned defense of this song. It's time to end the rape anthem masquerading as a Christmas carol. Hi there, former English nerd slash teacher here, big fan of jazz in the 30s and 40s. Here's the thing. Giving a cursory glance and applying today's worldview to the song, yes, you're right, it absolutely sounds like a rape anthem. But let's look closer. Quote, "Hey, what's in this drink?" was a stocked joke at the time, with the punchline invariably being that there was nothing in the drink and not even a significant amount of alcohol. This woman is staying late, unchaperoned, at a dude's house in the 1940s. That's the kind of thing that a good girl is not supposed to do. She wants people to think that she is a good girl. The woman in the song says outright multiple times that what others will think of her is what's really concerning. Quote, the neighbors might think, my maiden aunt's mind is vicious. There's bound to be talk tomorrow. but she's having a really good time and she wants to stay. So she's excusing her uncharacteristically bold behavior either to the guy or to herself by blaming it on the drink, unaware that the drink is actually really weak. Maybe not even alcoholic. That's the joke. It's a standard joke that was going on when a woman in the media from the early to the mid-20th century says, hey, what's in this drink? It's not a joke about how she's drunk or about to be raped. It's a joke about how she's perfectly sober and about to have awesome consensual sex and use the drink as plausible deniability. Because she's living in a society where women aren't supposed to have sexual agency. Basically, this song only makes sense in the context of a society in which women are expected to reject men's advances whether they actually want to or not. And therefore, it's normal and expected for a lady's gentleman companion to pressure her despite her protest because he knows she would have to say that whether or not she meant it. And if she really wants to say that she won't be able to justify doing so unless he offers her an excuse other than, I'm staying because I want to. That's the main theme of the man's lines in the song, suggesting excuses she can use when people ask later why she spent the night at his house. It was so cold out. There were no cabs available. He simply insisted because he was concerned about my safety in such awful weather. It was perfectly innocent and definitely not about sex at all. In this particular case, he's pretty clear because the woman has a voice that she's using it to give all the culturally understood signals that she actually does want to stay and but can't say so. She states explicitly that she's resisting because she's supposed to and not because she wants to. Quote, I ought to say no, no, no. She states explicitly that she's just putting up a token resistance so she'll be able to claim later that she did what's expected of a decent woman in the situation. Quote, at least I'm going to say that I tried, end quote. At the end of the song, they've been singing together in harmony because they're both on the same page as they have been from the beginning. This is not a song about rape. It's a song about a woman finding a way to exercise sexual agency in a patriarchal society designed to stop her from doing so. But it is also at the same time one of the best illustrations of rape culture that pop culture has ever produced. It's a song about a society where women are not allowed to say yes, which happens to mean it's a society where women don't have a clear and unambiguous way to say no. I was going to jump around, but it turned out that was too well written. I actually kind of feel now I have snap judgment changed to believe that all of our understanding of societal norms when it comes to the mating ritual of sex can be understood and explained in Baby It's Cold Outside. And our rapid pinging back and forth between this is about rape, this is not about rape, or this is a beautiful song, this is problematic, is understanding our evolving a grokking of this song. That maybe this is, now I'm totally on this guy's side. I'm on this guy's side. I'm on this former English nerd teacher's side. I'm in there. I'm with you. Because the concept is if you have sex with somebody, your status in society is diminished. You're bringing shame to your family. And if there's anything that we feel that it seems like we have gotten away from, it is the idea that that's true. We don't believe that much anymore, right? A girl can do whatever she wants. So I don't know. I don't know what's true and what's not with this song. But I love that take. Good takes. Hashtag good takes. And I'm totally on this guy's side. All right, let's go ahead and get into But Your Emails. Go ahead and email me in, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put jury in the subject line. David wrote, I am watching the reaction over Twitter about the video of the kid who was bullied in school from Tennessee, and since this is 2017, I need to say that bullying is horrible and any form of physical or psychological assault. But, and you knew there'd be a but, I'm not shocked this is taking place. As the fat nerd in school, I was physically and verbally assaulted, threatened, and degraded for most of 6th through 12th grade. For me, this was in the mid to late 80s, and after what the kid described, it seemed like normal bullying action from the school authorities, parents, and other students should, but never stop. This is similar to a woman who reacted to various sexual assault reports coming out with, yeah, we know, and how is everybody else shocked? Bullying has been happening for decades, if not centuries. Going to those in charge normally does nothing, and going to parents normally only makes it worse for the next time. And there's always a next time. Bullying doesn't get better and go away as people get older. The bullies only normally get sneakier, and they actually get into power, so nothing can be done. You either learn to live with it and take whatever baggage it leaves with you, becoming a bully yourself, or strike back. I imagine most just keep quiet and hope it quiets down so you can move in to a normal life. Very interesting. I don't disagree, David. Shadow Tiger says, when I was in high school, hanging out with my white, upper, middle-class Jewish friend, someone's little brother, 12 years old, was tagging along. He was pretty shy, but he wanted to be part of the group. Near the end of the night, somehow he worked up the courage to ask us a nagging question that he had been eating away at his precious, hormone-filled mind. If white people have white cum, do black people have black cum? We all burst out laughing. Probably one of the best laughs in my whole life. That is an amazing non sequitur email. To be fair, there was a totally out of context joke that we made on Night Attack. Where I forget even what the context was, but I just said, hey, everybody comes the same color. And so we wrote that in response to it. But I wanted to drop it in as a non sequitur. And I think you should have, as Dr. Whiskey described it, brown cows don't have chocolate milk. So Crunchy writes, men and women need to stop spreading. Aside from whoever my current partner is, I absolutely hate it when people touch me. It runs in the family. I have an aunt that leaves if a haircut is taking too long. It's that bad. I always take the aisle seat on airplanes. And yes, the handicap badge I always get at Dragon Con is really just so I can sit at the end of the row. Half the time I'm sitting halfway in the aisle because nobody apparently knows how to take up one seat anymore. I endure being hit with every purse, backpack, arm that walks past me just to avoid being pancaked between two people. Sometimes, if it's tight enough, you can actually feel the next person's ass muscles move. It drives me absolutely crazy. Even if you say your please and thank yous, there's no polite way to say, don't touch me. This is a hot topic. Tell you what. On planes, it's hard. I've sat next to some people that were, bigger people. I've been sandwiched between two pretty big people a few times. Whew. Not ideal. All right. One final email. This is one of those. We are going to debut this every once in a while. I'm going to ask you guys. This is interactive storytelling. I want you to hit me up at Justin R. Young or here in the chat. Hit me up with, when I get to the end of the story, or halfway through the story, is this a story about Charlie Sheen getting caught doing blow? Okay? I'll read you half the story, and then I'll ask everybody to vote. Is this a story about Charlie Sheen getting caught doing blow? Keep that in mind. This is written by Anonymous Diamond. It was Christmas 2001, and I was a contracted IT tech for a high-end Hollywood hotel chain of hotels. This family of historic hotels in the Sunset Strip and surrounding areas was known for illicit parties of music and film stars since the golden era of Hollywood. So for me to be a single man back in the early 20s, Raised in L.A. and enamored with the sunset scene, this was the place I wanted to work. I quickly developed friendships with several members of the management staff, also the line employees. This led to some casual dating of senior members of HR department. Let's call this one Shelly. I had invited her to a New Year's Eve concert and dinner at the Strip. In exchange, I'd be her plus one for the holiday party at the Playboy Mansion. Understanding what I do now, in management myself, I don't think it would ever be a good idea to host an employee event at the mansion. But apparently the owners had a great relationship with the estate, and hosting at the mansion was not uncommon. Skip ahead to the week. Leading up to the date, Shelly had joked that I should wear underwear I'd not be ashamed to be seen in, or a pair of swim trunks, because it was customary for guests to strip down and play in the pool. I should also dress up, but not wear anything I'd be upset being damaged or lost. Lastly, I should pack clothes to drive home in, because everything could be wet, dirty, or missing after the night had ended. Shelly knew when her bosses would be arriving and timed our arrival to coincide. About 40 minutes after the start time, about 100 staff were invited, as there were more exclusive party for select staff plus their guests, and we had specific access to the property along with a few guided tours. Music was bumping and alcohol was flowing from the moment we checked in. It was casino themed, and the body-painted cocktail waitresses were filling drink orders. I don't believe I saw an empty glass in any hand all night, and the pressures to do shots were relentless. Although the living areas and the private spaces were off limits, and there was a no hookup property on the property were verbalized, but it became very quickly apparent that this was a wink wink reaction. The fact that there was near naked men in a Speedo outfit or in a Santa Speedo with a gift bag putting holiday themed condoms in people's hands spoke to a loud message. I will now pause the story and ask everybody in the chat and everybody listening right now, if you're listening, go ahead and stop what you're doing. Pause the podcast. Go to your Twitter, Justin R. Young. Yes or no, at Justin R. Young. Yes or no, this is a story about catching Charlie Sheen doing cocaine. It is just yes or no. Just yes or no. It's all I'm looking for. We continue. We visited the famed grottos and caves and considered taking a dip, but the place was looking like a scene from an 80s teen sex comedy with people of all ages making out on the deck and in the water. In the big pool, there was an inflatable boob beach balls being tossed back and forth with people having a blast. It was a heated pool on a balmy 65-degree day. It's Christmas in Los Angeles. We snuck into a small covey for some alone time and wound up falling asleep after a mild makeout session. I was waiting for New Year's to close the deal, and I didn't know what was about to transpire the following week. As one would expect, there were lines crossed that night. Too much drinking, at least one DUI arrest of somebody in management. There were allegations of sexual misconduct and misuse of company funds for the party. Shelly's boss and two other executives were fired for allowing the behavior at work, with the mismanagement of funds being an investigation that led to the discovery of embezzlement a few years later. Shelly was also suspended because she was drunk at a company event and did not report the HR violations. My presence at the evening led to some backlash from my boss and me being reassigned to a healthcare unit. Truthfully, I don't know whether my boss was more disappointed that I was there and involved or that I didn't quote-unquote close the deal because he asked. For the record, I never slept with a drunk girl. I know that that's a line that many guys consider easy to cross. As for me and Shelly, I got blamed for her drunkenness and the suspension, and there was no New Year's Eve bash, and I was out a few hundred bucks for the tickets. My reassignment did lead to me falling in love with healthcare and a career shift from IT to healthcare administration. I recognize my tale is pretty mild as compared to others, but how often do you link a life pivot from a wild-ass party at the Playboy Mansion? He ends with this sentence. For the record, nearly Charlie Sheen or Bill Cosby were present at the Playboy and at the Playboy Mansion. Pay the no. Oops. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. Why is there more here left to see? Please be nice to kids who are bullied. I don't understand, is it me? Dominic the Italian Donkey's racist. Am I that difficult to read? Baby, it's cold outside. Maybe not rapey? Or just a Rosetta Stone to racism culture or rape culture? Either way, ladies and gentlemen, this is your old pal Justin Robert Young recommending that you please don't die. Do you like the way you're dressed up? Do you like how your hair gets cut? Do you like when your friends... Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.